You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
We start in the NBA today here on Straight Outta Vegas, where the Lakers are at the Portland Trail Blazers. Coming up later on tonight, it is Portland, a 3-point favorite right now. But the story of this game is the debut of LeBron James as an LA Laker. What is the Vegas perspective, RJ, on LeBron and the Lakers?
Well, one, they're the fourth favorite to win the title. Lakers are the fourth favorite to win the title, behind only Golden State, Houston, and Boston. 12-1, so 100 wins you 1,200. A lot of optimism. Thing you got to know about the future bettings market to win a title, in this case, the NBA title, a lot of casual bettors. I think about in baseball, the Chicago Cubs fans come to Vegas, put $20 on the Cubs to win the World Series, go home, show it at the bar and such. There's a lot of that in the future betting for titles. So it's not sharp. It's more Joes than the pros. What the pros bet before an NBA season is season win totals. Now, what does that mean? It means there's 82 games in the regular season. How many of those games will a team win? Lakers, the win total, 48 wins. Now think about that. LeBron last year apparently played with a bad team. I mean, if you look at the supporting cast on the Cavs last year, some people would make the case it was the worst supporting cast LeBron had had in a decade. Fez, NFL is your specialty. NBA is right behind. I don't even think it's a debate that the supporting cast for the Lakers are significantly better than last year's supporting cast with the Cavs. Agree?
Oh, no question, RJ. Up to 6-point difference.
Yeah, so if those two teams played in a time machine without LeBron, Lakers would be about a 6-point favorite. So wait, it was 50 wins last year with that inferior supporting cast in Cleveland. Now with a superior supporting cast in LA, it's only 48. So my thought was, wow, I like the over. Now just to create just a little context on that 48 number, who's ahead of them? You've got Golden State, Houston, Boston, same teams ahead of them in the title odds. But additionally, Toronto with more season wins projected, Philadelphia, and Utah.
Utah? Are you kidding me?
Utah. I mean, that's showing the pros are not really respecting LeBron. And by the way, there's actually three other teams tied with the Lakers. So the Joes are saying, oh, Lakers got a chance. He's LeBron. The pros are saying, I don't know. LeBron's LeBron, but we've downgraded him. And to me, Jonas, there was one question that was driving if I was going to bet the Lakers over 48 wins. Would this season be a transition season? As in, hey, we didn't get a big other free agent. Let's get some integration with the team, some comfort level, and see where we go from here. Or is it going to be a statement season? Because last year, LeBron played every game, and he led the NBA in minutes per game. So anytime he played the most, and he also played every game. If I knew LeBron was going to do that, I would love the over 48 season wins. I thought it was a question mark. Today, it seems like we've gotten some answers.
Yeah, and Luke Walton, his head coach, had some interesting comments when he talked about taking the long view on LeBron, looking at this not just as a one-year thing, but we've got him for 4 years. So how do we approach making sure that he's healthy enough and rested enough so that he can be 100% as they approach the postseason? LeBron James responded with the following quote, "I'm always fresh. All my coaches want to figure out a way and how to lessen my minutes. I keep telling them I'm strong enough to play the most minutes, but they won't listen to me, so it's okay. I like it." End quote. What is the Vegas perspective on those comments from LeBron?
Well, I think when Luke Walton said what he said, my first thought was, well, how do we necessarily believe him? Right? He could be misleading us. But having LeBron respond to it and then kind of acquiesce, and again, this is great. This is macho. Like, hey, you got the flu. You know, like your wife is like, hey, we got dinner with my friends tonight. And the husband has the flu. And the husband's like, you know, oh, yeah, I can go. I can go. And the wife says, oh, no, honey, you know, you're sick. Okay, but I would if you wanted me to. So it sounds like LeBron's like, hey, I could do this, but, oh, the coach doesn't want me to. So he gets his – LeBron gets his macho points, but it seems like the end result is this feels like a transition season. Not that they're not going to play hard, but it won't be LeBron playing every game. It won't be LeBron leading the league in games or minutes per game. So if that answer's true, then I'm not as anxious to bet over 48 wins. Fez, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I actually did bet them over 48 wins, so, and I'm worried.
So you hate hearing this?
I do.
All right. So I think there's one wild card that Fez might give you a little bit of hope. All right, here it is. The trade deadline. The sense is, oh, there isn't this additional superstar, max contract. Who's to say they don't trade for Kawhi Leonard before the deadline or elite player XYZ? And if they do, it might not help as much on the season wins, but it could help on those title odds. I think it's very possible Lakers are playing to see what they have now with an eye of potentially making a big change at the deadline or most certainly in the summer.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have our trends of the week in the NFL and in college football.
Every day we bring Las Vegas to you right now on the Strip. 76 degrees and the neon is pumping.
It's about that time. Each week here on Straight Outta Vegas, we do a little something called this.
Now, trends of the week on Straight Outta Vegas.
And we start in the NFL. RJ, what does Vegas think of some NFL trends of the week?
Well, we think there's some money potentially to be made here. We got three biggies. Let's start with the Patriots. Fez and I are going to disagree on this game in just about 5 minutes, so get ready for crossfire. Here's something that Fez did not account for. I like the Pats. Pats are so good as road favorites. What's the danger of being a road favorite? You overlook your opponent because you're clearly better than the opponent. That's why you're favored on the road, right? Well, the Pats, when they're favored by a field goal or more on the road, are 78% straight up. They win the game 78% of the time, going back almost 70 games. 53 winners, 15 losers straight up. No team in the NFL is even close to that good as a road favorite as the Patriots as a road favorite. Why? Belichick. A lot of answers end with Belichick. And it makes sense why he's meticulous. He won't let the team look ahead. That's one of the reasons the Pats are the right side against the Bears. NFL trend number two, Cincinnati Bengals. As a Steelers fan, I could call them the Bungles. I won't. Not good in prime time. I mean, like not good in prime time in a shocking way. And we can see, you know, here's the thing about trends. There's got to be logic behind them. Because randomly, there can be, you know, there can be trends all the time that are pretty extreme. And the question is, do they mean anything? But ultimately, if you have the numbers behind it and you have the logic behind it, that's when a trend is very, very important. And I think we have that here with Cincinnati, where if you look back through Cincinnati, when they play in playoff games or in primetime, they're terrible. Coach Lewis in primetime, 9-31 straight up. Think about that. 40 games he's coached for the Bengals in primetime. He's won 9 of them. I'm not betting the Bengals. Let's just say that. Last trend in the NFL, then we'll go into college in a moment. Home underdogs of more than 8 points. They're not very common. Think about it. It's one thing to be an underdog at home, to be an underdog way above a touchdown, more than 8 points. Some of that is going to be, hey, the home team's embarrassed. They're mad they're that big of an underdog. They're going to play hard. It also could be the crowd's enthused because it's a heck of a team coming in. They want to see their team salvage a bad season, perhaps, with a win. And it's also that same road favorite looking ahead, potentially. Home underdogs more than 8 points, 42-24 against the spread. 42 winners, only 24 losers. Almost 66% blindly playing those big home underdogs in the NFL. We got a qualifying team. We've got San Francisco hosting the Rams, getting 9.5 right now. You've got to look San Francisco or pass based on that history.
These are your trends of the week here on Straight Outta Vegas, and we continue this time, RJ, in the world of college football.
All right, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. You got three good college football trends.
So first one, USC, big game this weekend. They're on the road against Utah. USC right now, a 7-point road underdog at Utah. And lately, the Trojans in the underdog role, not so good. 1-11 against the number. Last 12 times, USC has been an underdog. And it makes a lot of sense, because I think this is more of a Clay Helton-type trend. That's the head coach of USC. And when USC can't, you know, outskill, out-talent the opponent when it comes down to scheming, because USC is not going to outskill, out-talent, that's why they're a dog in a game. They're not going to certainly out-coach them. That's why USC is a bad underdog team.
Wow, that's a good trend. So when USC is a dog, they are 1-11?
1-11 against the spread.
And this week,
7-point dog at Utah.
So the theory is you've got a Utah team. They went for 2 last year against USC, so there's extra revenge, some would say. Also, though, obviously USC is not the better team, so now it's down to intangibles. It's down to coaching, and Helton hasn't done so well in those spots.
No, he hasn't.
Okay, next up, we got Bama, best team in the country. No one is questioning that. And against Tennessee, there's some history being made.
Yeah, so we've been talking all year long about these historical numbers for Alabama. Well, we're seeing some historical spreads. Another one this week. Alabama on the road at Tennessee, a 29-point favorite. In modern history, this goes back to 1980. Tennessee has never been more than a 20-point underdog. In this game, a 29-point home underdog to the Alabama.
So you're saying in the history of the world,
yep,
Tennessee is the biggest home dog they've ever been.
By far, by 9 points.
Wow. Now, the third college football trend involves a game, Brad, that you and Fezzik disagree on. Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell. This is what we call crossfire. Hear that music?
Oh.
That means there's a it just sounds like a battle is going to happen. All right, who's going? Brad, we're going to let you go first because you got the trend. Give us your pick and the spread.
Well, I like Michigan here, but let me first. The trend is against Michigan because the last 10 times that Michigan State has played Michigan, how about this? Michigan State has covered all 10 meetings. Last 10 years, 10-0 against the number for the Spartans, but I think that's
why. Hold on a second. Hold on. So you're saying you've got a 10-0 straight up trend or 10-0 against the spread trend, right?
Yep.
And you're saying, I'm going the other way. It's saying Michigan State covers in this series, and you're saying you're going the other way. You better make a heck of a case.
Well, in this particular case, is we have not seen Michigan this good probably in any of the 10 years. And on top of that,
Hold on a second. Michigan, Fez, I'm going to defend you here. Michigan being that good or not is built in the line.
It is built in the line.
All right, so what we're saying is the whole thing about a trend is there's some dynamic that the line probably isn't accounting for that's meaningful, right? But somehow you're saying, hey, because Michigan's good, this trend's no longer pertinent.
Well, I think that this trend is overcompensating in this.
Okay, so what you're saying is this trend has gotten so popular,
yes,
and so widespread, it's affecting the number more than it should.
Absolutely.
Ooh. All right, any other thoughts?
Well, on top of that, Michigan State, 6 offensive starters, questionable or doubtful for this game, going up against that vaunted Michigan defense. I don't like your chances here, Fess.
All right, so the spread in this game?
7. Michigan, a 7-point road favorite at Michigan State.
You like the other side, Fez.
Like Michigan State plus the 7. It's going to be 11-0 after this game. I really think this is Michigan State's biggest game of the year against Michigan. Michigan's biggest game of the year will be when they play your Buckeyes, and I think that's a big reason why Michigan State seemingly always covers this game.
So wait a minute. You're saying your handicap here going against Michigan is Michigan, though they have a chance at the national title if they win this game, is not going to be motivated.
Oh, they'll be motivated.
So I'm confused.
Michigan State has had this game every year circled as the game.
So this is like the old Spinal Tap. Michigan's going to be at a 10, but somehow Michigan State's going to 11.
11 and a half, RJ.
Boy, that's a weak handicap.
Well, I like the 11 because
there's got to be another reason.
The second reason, if you wanted to bet Michigan, why didn't you lay 7 on them at home against Wisconsin last week? Wisconsin's not even as good as Michigan State. Think about this. And now Michigan's on the road against a better team, Michigan State, and they're still laying 7.
So what you're saying is there's been some real Michigan love because of their domination and such against inferior teams.
The market overreacted to that blowout win against Wisconsin. Yes.
I'm not betting either team. Neither of you guys have convinced me. I wasn't too impressed on that one. All right, so Brad, you're on Michigan.
I'm on Michigan -7.
You're on Michigan State.
Sparty.
I'm nowhere on this game. In fact, I'm not even going to watch the game because I didn't like that analysis so much. But we do know one thing, and we got one more crossfire left about Harbaugh.
He smells.
All right, so you didn't contribute that to the handicap, but it's something to consider.